Plus, Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
All right, I'm in a bad mood. It's not. We're not gonna have a good show tonight, Drew.
Why not?
We shan't have a good show.
All right. Well, at least we've declared it. It shall be show.
Goddamn headphones turned all the way. Who does that? What kind of maniac comes into someone's studio and turns the headphones all the way? Are your headphones turned up all the time?
They were. Not all the time, but tonight they were.
What is that?
I don't know.
What about some proper canned decorum? You turn the goddamn stuff down.
It's weird.
And by the way, let it be a little lower and a little higher.
It really does remind me of the guy that parks the cars coming back with a seat.
I'm a maniac with this stuff. Yeah. I'm a maniac. Okay. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Matt Cross, Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, now let's get to the parking stuff. Yeah. Now, here's one of these things, Drew. This is one of those things, like a program director would say, don't talk about this. It's like when I complain about the service in the first class cabin.
Yes.
Oh, no, don't talk about that. Well, pretend like you don't fly first class. You don't want to offend the kitty. Screw the kids. Let me tell you something. Here's the situation. Brought it up a few times. I know it sounds like nothing, and I just sound like a prima donna prick, but Drew, you will back me up 100%. We're both over 6 foot tall. There's not a person who parks a car in the city of Los Angeles that's over 5'5".
Right.
It's a state mandated. It's a mandate. Did you know that? They have
it had to be some sort of law.
I've never seen one over 5'5". Okay, you know when you go to Disneyland, and they got that, you know, Mickey Mouse is holding his arm out, and if the kid doesn't get to that height, he can't get on the crosser. Here, we have a cactus with a sombrero on it, and the cactus arm sticks out. And if you get to that arm, that's 5'5" and an 8", you're too tall to drive a car. You cannot park cars.
But I imagine people in other parts of the country don't have to deal with that the way you do in Southern California. I mean, it's just everyone has to deal with that here.
Here's how Southern California works. The only people that park cars are from some third world nation where they're malnourished and they just don't come that big. They just don't. And then the guys whose cars are getting parked are big fat Texan guys who moved out here to get into development. Okay? So they get in your car, they slide the seat all the way up, and by the way, the car wash, the restaurant, doesn't matter where you are, that's the guy who's driving the car, slides the seat all the way up, and then you try to get into the car, but you cannot get into the car because the backrest is against the steering wheel.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. And they need the tip. And I'm telling you, I will give $100 to the first valet who sees the gangly white dude walking toward the car, slides the seat all the way back and hops out. And by the way, let me say this. This is like my initial headphone thing. Much easier to slide a seat forward than it is to getting into a car where the seat slid all the way front means
with traffic coming.
You just perform oral sex on yourself trying to. Yeah.
By the way, there's a preset button on all these cars. Just push that button.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't know how to work mine, but just look. Have the seat back. You're not going to offend the guy. That's all I'm saying. All right. Drew, what were you talking about?
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Didn't I have a cup of coffee? Oh,
yeah.
It's behind me.
We were going to mention that it's the 10-year anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death.
No, not going to get to that.
All right.
Got other things to talk about.
All right.
Baseball season is starting.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about killing myself. I just had an ass. I cannot stand baseball. And you know why I can't? Here's what I will put a shotgun in my mouth. I have to hear that blowhard Bob Costas or Billy Crystal talk about that.
I love baseball.
Yankee Stadium and being. Oh, some of my early memories. Shut up! No one cares what your earliest memories are. Ugh. And these a-holes I got to work with, everyone just talking about
the Sox.
Crucial. Big pivotal game number 3 of the 162-game season. And believe me, the games, it's 100. Think about it, folks. 160-something games. Can we really care about any one of them that much?
Especially since at 120, everyone's at 500.
Everybody's at 500. No. They're hoping they're at 500 at the All-Star game. Please, when we get to the All-Star break, could we please be 32-32? Please, Lord, let us be 500 at the All-Star. Can't we just have the All-Star game tomorrow? Let's just get to the goddamn All-Star game so we can get to the playoffs, so we can get to football season. Because that's what we all want. We want to see football. We don't care about the 160-something game season. Oh, these athletes. nice big fat pitchers with their pork chop sideburns and 140-pound infielders. And everyone's talking, and they got, in the rotisserie leagues, and they got to talk about it. And there's a game every day, every day. I mean, at least, hey, if you're not a football fan, at least you get some sort of reprise during the week, you know? It's Wednesday. All right, there's nothing going on. Oh, it's a game every single day. And we got the fantasy team to build.
Larry King's coming out with a new book called Why I Love Baseball.
Oh, such an idiot. Why does that idiot love... And listen, I saw that Larry King on Kimmel's show on Friday.
Oh, really?
Let me tell you something that you shouldn't do once you crack 65. Skinny men should not wear suspenders and denim jeans. You know what I mean? That's a bad look. That gives you a little mangina there up front. Little old mangina. And there's something weird, like... I don't mind seeing a fat guy with suspenders, but scarecrow-type guys with suspenders, it makes the bones in their shoulders and their sort of bony hips stick out that much more. Like it's like a fat chick, you know, putting on a tube top or something. It really accentuates. Like, Larry King is already built, he's built like a framing square as it is, just... You don't use framing squares, but just there's not one curve
angular,
to him.
Yeah.
It's just one sharp edge. I'm scared if I brushed by him, I'd cut myself. You know, like he'd pierce your skin with a rib or an elbow or a shoulder or something. So here's my plan. I'm going to get super, super tight suspenders and then jack these jeans up even higher. So instead of looking like a buck 35, I'll look like a buck 22. It's a weird, isn't that a weird thing? Okay. Yeah. You know, it's a creepy look. You know, he was wearing it on Jimmy's show. It's that denim pants, wearing the blue jeans, like the casual blue jeans.
With suspenders.
And then the suspenders and the dress shirt.
Ooh.
And then the loafers.
Like
there's
this?
That weird,
is that this?
That's what Drew's wearing. Hold on.
Is that not it?
Yes.
Is that what I'm wearing?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's suspenders. What... Absent the suspenders. It's exactly what I'm wearing.
No.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
How weird is that again?
Pretty weird.
Okay.
But not eerie weird. If you had suspenders on, it'd be freaky
Rocky.
Weird.
Yeah.
All right. So let's review. Everyone who gets in your car needs to put the goddamn seat back so I don't have to get a running start to get in the effing car.
Right.
Baseball season has started. Who gives a rat's ass? And don't get me wrong. I enjoy the World Series. The playoffs were great last year.
But leave Adam alone.
I don't want to hear about your team.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about your team for at least another 120 games. Because 120 games from now, there'll still be 3 football seasons to play. You understand? And you'll all be 500 when you get to the All-Star break, if you're lucky. So please don't talk about it that much. It's not that exciting. Thank you. Okay.
And I should kill myself because of the way I dress.
You should kill yourself. And speaking of killing yourself, it's the 10th year anniversary. 10-year anniversary of Kurt Cobain's
demise.
Suicide.
Mm.
Or so they say. I saw a whole thing on Dateline about a couple guys. Shockingly trying to sell a book, but...
about how sick he was.
Oh, and Courtney had something to do with it.
Well...
It's great.
I talked to engineer Chris before the show about this.
Which one is he?
This guy right here.
Oh.
And Chris is very... He's a huge Nirvana
Parked
fan.
Parked my car. Yeah.
And I was surprised to hear, that just talking to a big fan like Chris, that he didn't know how sick old Kurt was.
You mean drug-wise or depression-wise?
Well,
I didn't know how...
He was just psychiatric. The guy was really, really sick.
Yeah? What do you know, Drew?
I just...
Yeah? What do you know?
Talked to people that treated him at times and who knew about his case and stuff. And it was really
very
disturbing.
Clinical depression mixed with heroin abuse?
Well, you know, it's severe, severe heroin addiction. And that is enough to create all kinds of havoc.
Ouch. Right.
But also abuse survivor, severe personality issues, severe.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. I know.
Not good.
Not good. I know, and you know, the guy. I'm surprised to hear, although not that. I think he was 27 or 28.
Yeah, that crazy.
I mean, he seemed like he was around long enough to be 32.
At least.
I mean,
yeah.
Not even close to 30, really.
Mm. He was 27.
27.
Yep.
Mm. Okay, no, quiet down now, Chris. Don't ever correct me on air. Now, if you want to hold up a grease board that says 27, and then I'm sorry underneath it with like a sad face and tears coming out, you're still funny. I'll accept that. But on the air, that was a slap in the face.
It was an attack.
Wow. Yeah. What was that?
I don't know. It says, who is that man over there anyway?
I don't know. He's dead to me. So anyway, Kurt, yeah. And you know the thing about Nirvana? Good band.
Yeah.
I mean, beside all the grunge and all the hype and all the Courtney Love stuff and the drugs and all that, you know, all the pomp and circumstance around the band, good music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember it well because I was attempting to get into radio 10 years ago when he died.
Hmm.
And remember phoning this radio station trying to get through, and it was just, of course, it was, you know, Hindenburg-type disaster over here. I mean, that's as big as it got. I don't know what you compare it to. I mean, I don't know if that's a Jim Morrison-sized thing
basically,
around here.
Yeah,
probably.
For this kind of radio station, for sure.
Yeah. And the idea with Jim Morrison and the Doors, he sort of packed it in and left the country.
Right. They were already fading out by that point.
Yeah, but you know, they still had music to release
right.
and that kind of thing. But you sort of knew, all right, the guy made his peace and he's off in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Drew.
Mm.
Anything you want to add to that?
No, but I guess we could take calls along those lines if people are interested in talking about him, what happened to him, or people are struggling with similar kinds of problems.
All right. John?
Yeah.
You're 19?
I am.
What's up?
I just want to say, Ed and Dr. Drew, I listen to you guys all the time. You're hilarious. Both of you. Adam, I don't care what you say, Dr. Drew does have comedy, and he's hilarious.
All right. Wow, hilarious.
Yeah, I was just wondering... you know how you have to fart, okay? Every guy's fart, Adam. I don't know how many jokes you've laid about this, but
I don't normally kid about gas.
It's
but,
a very serious thing for you, isn't it?
Well, it's just not the kind of thing you talk about. But go ahead.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm not going to stop other people from talking about it just because I disagree with it.
Of course.
Go ahead,
not.
John.
Yeah, you know how say you're around a girl or a girl's parents or something like that. You have to pass gas, but you don't want to embarrass yourself. You hold it in. It makes this like sound in your stomach, and it's like something's going on, and sounds like you're hungry. But then I was like, oh, you know, you're hungry. Right. Your stomach's growling.
Yeah. No, I just saved you from a horrible experience.
Yeah. Now you can eat.
Yeah. So, I was just wondering if that causes any problems holding it in.
All right. Jeez, it took him 40 minutes. You know, like, there's, you know, sometimes there's places, like, when you're having an audience with the Pope. Or yeah, I understand. There's times you can't just freely just break wind, like you're alone in your car driving to Vegas at 4 in the morning.
Right.
So you're saying, let me write this down. There's places like job interviews, meeting...
audience with the president.
Meeting the in-laws, that kind of stuff. Yeah, confessional.
Generally shouldn't just break
should not be just
loose.
Breaking wind. Yeah. All right. But then there are times you have to break wind, but you don't because you're in a place where you can't. So
that would be considered a civilized and basically considerate kind of a action.
Right.
And it has no adverse effect on you.
No.
You will not explode.
Not that we're aware of.
You will not...
No?
Grow a tumor? No.
What will it do? What does it need to do? And will it dissipate?
Well, that's an interesting question.
I'm scared. They're like my children. I'm scared that I'll lose one.
You don't want to lose one. I know. It's an opportunity for you. It's you're sort of like you're Catholic with sperm. You don't want to.
Yeah.
These are potential lives, each and every one of them.
That's right. And I got a quota to make.
Of farts?
Yeah. X amount a week.
Weekly quota, not daily quotas.
Well, it adds up. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, you can move. You can batch them together on Tuesday.
I got to get 750 in each week, so you do the math.
Who sets that quota?
Don't worry about it. The point is I don't like to waste them.
Yeah,
and I'm scared if I sit on it. Pardon the pun. It's not going to come back.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if anyone has studied that. I do happen to believe there's a possibility some of it dissipates.
Ooh,
yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay, I guess I was going out with this guy, and, like, I guess I love him, and we broke up, and I
she
was...
She loved him?
She loves him.
You guess you love him, yeah?
Yeah, and, like, we broke up, and I was trying to kill myself, right? And I got sent to a behavioral hospital, and, like, a while after I got out, I went out with this other guy, and we did it, and, like, I don't know if I'm pregnant or not, because, like... when we did it that day, I went to the doctors, and I started taking some new pills, and they're called lithium.
Librium?
Lithium.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so, like, I don't know if it's, like, that I'm pregnant or if it's the pills. And when I try to talk to this guy, like, he laughs in my face, you know, and, like, it hurts me, you know?
All right, hold on. How long ago did you have sex?
Like 2 months and a half ago.
And when was your last period?
Like 3 months and a half ago.
All right, you must assume you're pregnant.
And like, you know, I guess, you know.
So, Grace, really, you got to get a pregnancy test. And you got to figure out what to do with this. You got to notify the doctor that's giving the lithium because it's not a good idea when you're pregnant.
Really?
And you need to figure out what you're going to do with this pregnancy.
Like, you know, I'm really confused right now because, like, the guy that, like, at the first...
Forget about the guy. You got to take care of Grace right now. You got to do it.
That's you, by the way.
Yeah. Are you a girl who goes by Grace?
Yeah.
You've got to look after yourself physically. You have to decide what you want to do, and you've got to take care of things right now. Go to a Planned Parenthood. Go to a county health facility. Get yourself somewhere where you can get appropriate care. Or maybe even just call the doctor that prescribed the lithium. Start there and let them know what you're experiencing, okay?
But see, like, the thing is that, like, I would have done that, like, a while ago, but, like, I can't because I'm not really allowed to get out of my house. Like, I'm always just locked up in my house because, like,
you can't pick up the phone and call the doctor that's prescribing your lithium?
Well, she has to be inside. The phone is outside.
Ah.
So it's a climb the pole
Green
like
Acres.
That Buddy Epson
yeah.
would do on the...
Like,
no, wait a minute. Eddie Albert.
What's yeah. that?
I'm scared because, like, my parents are not really understanding people. Like, they will yell at you for anything.
Yeah, but Grace, you know? I understand. That's why things are so messed up in your life here. You've got all that chaos
yeah.
at home.
Yeah. Your parents still together?
Actually, they are, but my dad's rarely home. He's... like a really religious guy, and he's always at church doing something. He's never home.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, that means like, ex-junkie. Yeah. What was he into before he got into, before he found Jesus Christ?
He actually was, like, into doing all kinds of drugs, and he was, like, a really big, like, alcoholic, and he used to beat up my mom and stuff.
All right, well, shocking, yeah.
Yeah. How did Adam know that?
Yeah. Nobody just goes to church a lot.
Not a male. Not a young male.
No, not males, no. All right, listen, Grace, here's the thing. I'm sorry for the kind of family you were born into and some of the mistakes you've made. Your life is not over, although there are certain things you're going to need to do to get it back on track, and one of them is going to Planned Parenthood or something like that. Now, don't you go to school? Don't you ever leave the house?
Yeah, I go to school.
All right. Look, go to school, talk to the counselor, ask
school
them about,
nurse even. Just
go to school nurse.
Go somewhere where you can get into appropriate care. You, I believe in Arizona, will have a right to confidential health care. Most states, 14, 15, 16, you can do that.
Yeah. I saw a big billboard for New York Minute. Drew's,
no kidding.
Drew's Olsen Twins
How exciting.
Movie.
Exciting.
Yeah, I just must have just went up in the last few days. It was out front of Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably start plastering it around town soon.
Well, the trailers are, they're just bombarding the
on
trailers.
Television?
Oh, yeah.
Not seen.
Well, it's on the kids, it's on the kids' channels and stuff.
So oh, really?
Well, my kids watch all that stuff.
Oh, wow. So,
and then the movie theaters,
now, you
too.
On the trailer? Aren't you quickly on
yeah,
the trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, your kids got to be going nuts. Oh,
well, their friends are like, is your dad in a movie?
He had sex with Hillary Duff. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wow. When's the movie coming out?
May 7th.
True is co-starring.
Oh, no, I'm not co-starring.
Ah,
I'm
come supportive. On, buddy. Supportive. Let me call it that.
I'm playing their dad.
He's playing the Olsen Twins' dad.
Yeah.
In a new movie that they got coming out. And that is exciting. All right. Chris.
Yes?
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I was molested when I was younger by my great-grandfather.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Great-grandfather?
Yes.
It's got to be downgraded to good. You molest, you got to go down to good.
I didn't know anybody had great-grandfathers anymore.
Nah, it happens.
That would make it good?
Huh?
Because it was a great-grandfather?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you may be, even I know it's a title, I know it doesn't mean you're, you know, a swell guy, but I'm just saying, if you make it to the lofty title of great-grandfather,
and you sexually
abused, and then you diddle your great-granddaughter, we got to bring you down to good.
Good-grandfather.
You're just good at that point. You're not great.
How about average-grandfather? Barely grandfather.
I don't know, Drew. I mean, the guy, you know, made it to 85. Just a sprinkling of molestation.
You don't get to be old being no fool, as Richard Pryor says.
Let's not rush to judgment here. Chris?
Uh-huh.
How old was he and how old were you when this happened?
He was in his mid-70s, and I was 8, at through 10 when he molested me.
Eight through ten, and he was mid-70s. And by the way, that when you have a grandfather that's in his 70s and he's got a great grandkid who's 10, that is that's white trash there, right there.
Is that?
Well, I'm not white.
Could be.
Yeah.
Oh well, it's it's black trash too. But I mean,
yeah,
it's Mexican trash too. Yeah, it's not Asian trash. What are you?
I'm Mexican.
All right, that's all coming together. In that case, he's a little bit old.
Mm-hmm, I know.
He should have been more in his late 50s,
he's
early
dead
60s.
Now. Dead
oh, that's good.
I don't feel good about that.
I'm glad. That's good. I hope it was a painful death for him.
I hope so, too.
All right, so he molested you from age 8 to age 10.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like multiple times? Or just
yes, one time. My mom was a drug addict, and she used to leave me over there with my great-grandparents.
Oh.
And one time he was... watching over me, he thought I was asleep, and he was just in his underwear.
Mm.
And what was he doing?
I don't know. I was too young to know. I don't know what he was doing. It just scared me.
Well,
that's not sexual abuse.
Yeah, and during the summertime, a lot of elderly Mexicans will spend the entire summer in their underpants, Drew. Did you know that?
I imagine. Why
you
not?
You got to get out. Yeah, Chris, Chris, your mom is... Hmm? No, your dad.
My dad.
Andrea, Chris. No, not the summer, not the July...
Huh?
Mom's waxing his pants.
Okay. All right. So this isn't molestation far.
Yeah, but okay. And I would go down to we have little basements, and he grabbed me from my crotch, and he wouldn't let go, and he had me a swinging position, and then he went up my shirt, and he did that for a while, and he used to pay me off.
How did he pay you off?
$1. Oh. He used to pay me off like that. And
what would he say he was doing to you?
He would just tell me not to tell anybody. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, okay. But
he never knew actual sex acts.
Well, no intercourse, no oral sex.
No.
All right.
Okay, that's good.
Listen. Man,
it's just a weird thing, just a weird experience. I mean, it's a violation, I'll grant you.
It's freaky and it's bad, but if you start getting into intercourse and oral sex, it goes off the meter.
Yes, that's when you sort of shatter some of your developmental systems and things get... permanently altered, but this doesn't have to affect your whole life.
Let me tell you this.
Not in any kind of profound way.
Drug addict mom.
That's a big trauma.
It's going to screw you up more than
this.
Pedophile grandpa.
Yeah.
Well, my mother also used to be, she was beaten by all her boyfriends, and they used to beat me too. No one knows that. You guys know.
All right.
And,
yeah, that's much more.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Well, look, it's been a bad 0 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the 15 to 85's got to be bad.
This is my problem. I feel disfigured and that nobody likes me.
You feel that way because of all the serious trauma.
Yeah.
And the lack of availability of people to help you with your development.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get what you needed from your family. What you got was something you didn't need.
Yeah.
Things that disrupted you and didn't allow you to develop what we call a competent self, a self that had esteem and could regulate and feel okay about yourself moment to moment.
Yeah.
So really, this is more about either A, you kind of bearing down and getting with it and having stable relationships and keeping good friends around you, or getting therapy.
I'm in therapy, and my grandmother's totally against it.
Yeah. Well, your grandmother doesn't have a vote.
Yeah, she believes in the chupacabra, too.
She believes that my grandfather didn't do anything, anything bad.
You don't have to listen to that old bat. You go talk to the nice Jewish lady. Get yourself some therapy. So break things down racially, Drew. It makes things easier to understand.
I know you do that. I'm surprised the underwear didn't bleed over into the Jewish...
They don't spend as much time in their underpants.
Oh, you've not been around that community.
You're right. That's inside. I'm talking about
an
elderly Mexican gentleman will go to the mailbox. He will go to the market.
Chris.
He will do his marketing. He will go to the amusement
Chris
park.
Takes exception.
Yes. Oh, please trust me. Chris's father. Mother?
Who's the Mexican in your family?
Father.
Dad.
Because the mom's Italian.
Right,
she does
right.
the cooking.
Right.
Yeah. The Italians will beat you with a slipper. They will do that in public, but the Mexicans will actually wear their underpants during the summer. Ironically, unless they go to the beach, in which case they wear jeans that they cut off just around the calf, and they actually swim in blue jeans. Sometimes even a denim jacket. It'd be like a cowboy got thrown in the ocean. Other than that, in the underpants.
A lot of white folks in the Valley do that, too, now.
Yeah, all right.
Be fair.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break, Drew. Yeah. Shall we? What about
now
this
that,
girl
now that you have offended every possible...
Yeah.
And this is all... Look, I hope people understand not to be taken seriously what
it,
Adam
girl.
Is saying.
No, go ahead.
Girl Next Door promotion. So tonight, all callers 17 euros and older, 17 years of age and older, who get on the air will win a pair of tickets to see The Girl Next Door starring Alicia Cuthbert, who will be on the show later this week.
Oh, really?
And you'll be able to see it out wherever you are.
Uh-huh.
But those of you that want to go see it for free in Los Angeles can email right now at girlnextdoortickets, girlnextdoortickets@earthlink.net. You'll be issued passes over the web, and you can go to a special Loveline screening on April 7th at the Arclight for free.
Oh,
it's a
man.
Hell of a deal.
I'll tell you, they got that kettle corn there and them, like, airplane seats.
For free.
Nice place. $30 is a bargain for a ticket at that joint. Nice.
And a great movie. The Girl
Next Door. And you know what? If you're over 21, you can grab a cocktail or a brewski. They got a bar there.
Is that right?
Yeah, they got a bar,
I'll leave my cards there, by the way.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, we had to set the clocks ahead.
Oh, my God. Do we not every year hate this day? Probably worse than any other.
It is rain day.
And, of course, they started baseball, too, for you, just to put a little sand in the ointment.
And I'll tell you, all I do is... First thing, I have a ritual on these days where it's like... here's how you know you're a loser. You lament... moving this clock forward like you lost one of your children this hour. When will I ever get it back? Mm-hmm. I lament this loss for a good 13, 14 weeks past it.
Yeah.
And then it started attributing things to it. Yeah. I'm not myself. I had an hour. I should. See, I'm at 8 o'clock and it's 9. So you got to forgive me because I'm just not. Hey, that was 11 weeks ago. Yeah, I know. I'm just starting to. Just start to adjust to the altitude.
Do you feel any less tired now than when our show normally starts? You know what I'm saying?
No. I don't feel any different.
No, except I lost an hour.
All I do feel like is it was not an hour. It was about an hour and 40 to an hour and 45 minutes. It wasn't 2 hours. But I did 1,300 times today, I went, oh, Christ, what time? Ooh, Jesus, it's 5:15. But it's not. I just kept saying it. It's only an hour. It really does. It doesn't feel like the difference between 4:15 and 5:15. Feels like an afternoon.
Yeah.
And I always start off, and I don't know. I mean, it's always on a Sunday, and I'm always having a good time on Saturday night. And I usually sleep in, but I will always compound things by sleeping a full 2 hours later than I normally do. So
here's your day is just gone.
It normally works like this. I will get up on a Sunday, 9:45, maybe 10 o'clock, and with the hour, it would be 11 o'clock. For some reason, on these nights, once a year, I will sleep until 11:30 or 12, in which case it's like 1:15. Yeah. I'm walking down the stairs like, wow, it's late.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good times, though. It's got to be more than an hour. And here's what I'm thinking we do, Drew.
Yeah.
When it comes time to go back, we go forward again. And we keep pushing forward until eventually we skip a day. And then we get this whole thing over with. We just push to the end of the calendar.
I'm trying to figure a problem with that.
We make a drive toward the end of the calendar. You know what I mean? Before you know it, it's light at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It's getting dark at 1 in the afternoon.
Sounds fascinating.
Hey.
Screw up all the world's commerce.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Laura?
Hi.
You're 22?
Yeah, I'm 22.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I recently stopped taking my antidepressant medication. I've been on Effexor and Depakote and Prozac. And
you stopped them abruptly?
Yeah.
That is a bad idea.
I've been experiencing, it's been about 8 days now. And
okay, well, you're going to get shakes and chills and feel dizzy.
Yeah,
That is not going to stop until you go back on the medicine and get slowly tapered off.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bad, bad, bad idea.
You're saying it's not a good idea?
Bad idea. Not only that, you must be bipolar, and you will see a reemergence of all that on top of these crazy withdrawal symptoms you're having.
Well, how long before the withdrawal goes away?
It may not unless you go back on the medicine and taper off slowly.
Why did you just drop it?
Well, I've been seeing doctors, and I've been on and off tons of medication since I was 19, and I guess I've been feeling a lot better. I was diagnosed with depressive disorder, not bipolar.
Why were you taking the Depakote if you're not bipolar?
Well, they told me that it was a mood stimulizer.
Mood stabilizer. That's for people.
Stabilizer.
Right. People that need mood stabilizers have bipolar illness.
And yeah. He also told me that it would help me sleep because he said that it has...
The others are kind of stimulant.
Yeah.
He said
yeah.
It has
right.
An antidepressant benefit.
All right. All right, Laura, listen to Dr. Drew. Yes?
Yes. Go back on your medicine. Talk to the doctor that prescribed it. Get them to taper it off if that's important to you, but do not stop from cold therapy.
I stopped seeing my doctors, too.
All right. Well, this is all one big horrible plan on your part.
Yeah.
So it's time to rethink your strategy.
You called Laura and you asked me what to do. I've told you what to do. Are there other things we can help you with?
My question, but if I don't go back on,
this may not stop. This may not stop ever.
But the phone call?
No.
Ever?
These symptoms. I had one lady that had them for years.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot stop this medicine, Coulter. It's not a good idea.
He married
now
her.
You may it may stop someday. It may not. But the Effexor particularly is a medicine you have to taper slowly off of because it causes these symptoms typically. And if you don't slowly taper, these can be really sometimes even chronic. I had one lady that had them for like 8 years.
Really?
And even tapering her, we couldn't get them under control. So.
Yeah.
It's one of the risks of these medicines.
Well, you know, good times. Let's see. Oh, Hoobastank's going to be in here a little bit later this week. Always good to see those guys. Dave Attell from Insomnia. And one of the, you know, I don't like, I don't like to support the arts.
You don't like anybody.
As you know.
Yeah.
And I hate going to see stand-up comedy. Not because I don't have a good time once I do actually go there.
No, you hate anybody else being funny.
No. Well.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't like watching people perform. It makes me uncomfortable. Unless, ironically, there's like, you know, it's a gangbang film, which I'm perfectly fine with that. But somehow, I don't like to see people up on stage.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Dave Attell, I have seen, by the way. And probably the funniest stand-up working.
Wow.
Yeah. Won't be as funny on this show, but... Super funny stand-up act.
Nice.
I mean, Drew, if you like... it's like, you and me are the same way. We need to go down and watch stand-up comedy. Watch Dave Attell.
Wow.
Excellent. Huh. Probably the best. Huh. All right. Where are we? So he's coming on later on and then in the week, and then... what the hell is... Oh,
thinking,
Alicia
think,
Cutler.
I'm just thinking about what I know about comedians. Dave must be totally nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're all nutty.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the funny ones.
The funnier the...
Yeah. No. Okay.
Right.
Let's talk to Craig. Craig?
Yes.
You're 22?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. My question is, my partner recently got a biopsy done on her cervix, and mm-hmm. the results came back and said that she had HPV,
mm-hmm.
and she claims that she got it from me. She's the only person I've been with since 2002, mm-hmm. and off and on. And... she said her gynecologist told her that it kills itself off after like 2 months or so.
No, more like about 3 to 5 years.
Off
yeah.
of the woman or the man?
Both.
Or both?
It's the viruses that don't cause the cervical cancer tend to go away in about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't. The problem is, Craig, you can't tell which one you've got. And mm-hmm. so you have to consider yourself contagious basically from now on. Not a bad tactic to take anyway, because the incidence of the wart virus is about 50% out there. About one out of two people have it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to keep yourself protected, let's say it does burn itself out and you don't want to recontract it, you should wear your condom anyway.
Well, now you're with this girl and she thinks maybe Craig was stepping out on her. Is that what's going on?
Yes. And she was the only person. We had a 10-month period where we weren't together, and she mm-hmm. said she wasn't with anyone else. You know, so she said she contracted it from me. We always have safe sex.
You always wear a condom?
Yes, always. Except
so what
you, oral sex.
Yeah.
So what are you worried about then?
Well, I read an article that said that some physicians believe that contraceptive use through the orally and also smoking can also come up with these results. I wasn't sure if that was true or not.
How would that happen? How would you get? You mean you have it somehow on your mouth and you give it to her down there that way?
Well, no. Well, she smokes, so the article.
No, no. Craig, you got something all screwed up here.
Something's wacky.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on Dr. Bombay's webpage.
That's Vinny Boom Bots.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a student.
Mm-hmm.
What are you studying?
Just taking general eds right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 22.
Where are you at?
In the Valley.
Uh-oh.
Valley College?
Uh-oh. It doesn't matter.
He's in the
you
Valley.
You got your choice between Pierce, Valley College, and Northridge. It's all a disaster. Which one is it, Craig?
Northridge.
All right. Okay.
Here's amongst the three.
Yeah. Here's what that is it's the difference between, let me explain something. It's like the floor gave way in the outhouse.
Yeah.
You're at Northridge, you're just in waist deep.
Ah.
Your Valley or Pierce,
you
it's
have
over.
Your eyeballs.
Oh,
yeah.
Pass.
Oh, yeah.
You're up. Yeah. You're that's where they leave you.
Oh.
They remove the outhouse and they put a plaque.
where you remain.
That's all. And they walk away. Wash your hands and walk away. Just a plaque remains there now. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right. So listen, Craig.
Yeah.
Craig is trying to really let his gal pal know that he was not having sex with other people during the interim when they were not together.
And she may have had this for years.
Yeah. And so here's the whole thing. The mathematically, you're fine. It doesn't mean you're out doing something. Yes.
Right. You
could have had this for a long time. She could have had it for a long time.
But he's been wearing a condom exclusively with her, so the probability is you did not give this to her.
Okay.
And there's a probability that you're protected against it as well because you've been wearing a condom.
All right. There you go. It's good times.
It is good times.
All right. We're
full moon. Full moon.
Is it a full moon?
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe we should take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to take a break. We're going to get back. We're going to speak to Mike. His semen looks like tapioca pudding. Yeah. How many of these semen consistency calls can we field in my 9-year tenure?
We can skip them.
My 9-year tenure is going to be a 10-year tenure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Because there's no answer to this, right? It's just, sometimes it's thick, sometimes it's not.
No, it could be normal to look like that, Mike, so that's fine. There, we've answered his call.
Yeah. I had an impulse that grossed out my wife today, which is I was eating some peanut butter watching TV, and there's something about peanut butter. I don't know how it works. I don't know what its molecular structure is, but you cannot feel peanut butter on your skin. You know, if you eat a peanut butter sandwich, you can walk around for 6-8 hours with a big wedge of peanut butter just flapping off your chin. You don't know it. There's something about it. It has no weight or something. Or maybe it's the exact same. Maybe it's some sort of chameleon spread where it just takes on the weight and the shape and the feel of your own skin. Like, you'll be making a peanut butter sandwich or something, especially if you're going low in the jar. You're eating a sandwich, and you walk around, be 45 minutes later, you see a big smudge of peanut butter on your palm or on your hand. You even know it was there.
It's kind of like soap sometimes get left behind on your skin that way.
Yeah. But this is chunks of it. So, it's a second meal.
And so you grossed your wife out with that?
Well, what I did is I was eating peanut butter and then it was sort of dark and I thought I was doing a little caulking today and I was just shooting a little latex caulking up at the house and something was stuck to my hand and I thought, must be peanut butter. And then I thought, I should just eat it. Because, I got this policy. If I pull something off me, it's going to my mouth. I don't care if it's a scab or a snuggie. Doesn't matter what BM. Doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
It really doesn't. And I thought this gotta be peanut butter I got. I'm just gonna eat it. And then I thought about it, and then I realized it was a latex caulk. So, heading toward my mouth.
At least it wasn't BM.
The other good one I did last night, which freaked her out too. This is one of those chick things, and to me it's like a zero. Like we went to a Mexican food place, and it was one of those things where. it was crowded. And they want to give you that table that is like the hub and of a wheel, and the spokes are all the other tables around. It's that one where people are walking around. You feel like a rock in the middle of a stream. Yes, you know, everyone's just buzzing by you. And I always hate that. I hate when they set you right next to people and you're elbowing with them and they can hear your nasally voice and everything. So we'll wait for the booth. And sure enough, somebody got up and popped up, and we popped down on it before they wiped the table, and there was the bucket of chips. Well, I remember, it was a small bowl with four or five chips in it, and I went right for a chip. She's like, "Oh my God, what are you?" And I'm like, don't worry about it. And I was just, you know, if I went to dinner with the guy, I'd just be eating the chips out of the same bowl. "Oh my God, I can't believe you put it." I was like, "What?" I would finish someone's taco. I wouldn't care. You don't get sick. That's not. You don't got to worry about that part of life. Am I right, Drew?
I generally agree with you. In broad strokes.
In broad strokes, do we not go a little bit crazy on those kinds of things?
Yes.
And not really focus on if there are ways you truly wanted to keep yourself healthy.
Yo, absolutely.
There are other things you could focus
it's
on.
It's like our motivational priorities are off. We prioritize.
Yeah, we spend all our time making little toilet seats out of toilet paper on top of toilet seats at airport terminals. Mm-hmm. That's really just sort of, that's just to appease your feeble mind.
Yes,
it does nothing for you.
It's saying a chant over the toilet.
Yes, yes. You wanted to feel better, you do an hour of yoga every day.
That's right.
That would make you. I'm not going to do it, but I'm saying at least I don't fool myself into making an ass gasket every time I go to the goddamn airport and thinking, oh, now I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew was telling me during the break what a big movie Hellboy was.
Yeah, my kid saw it twice.
Twice. I could see movies twice when I was a kid, but it had to be, you had to stay.
Yeah, you just stayed the second time around.
Yeah, you were going back and paying again. You just had to sit there and wait till Doc Savage started up again.
What I found interesting about their comment about the second time is that, like, we figured some things out. Like, we were able to follow this.
You know, subtle nuance.
Yeah, we figured out the plot now. We figured out the characters.
It cut through the thick subtext of the octopus man who's attacking him in the subway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of nuance to the tentacle man. I got to say a couple things. Ron Perlman going to come on the show, I think, right?
Maybe next week.
Right, let me say a couple things. First off, like I was complaining about baseball and rotisserie leagues and guys living and dying on pivotal game 13 in the 162 season.
Yeah.
These same guys. It's like, hey, they're making the Silver Surfer into a movie. Oh, my God. Because I got Silver Surfer 33 and I got 28. And you know, I don't touch them. I use Kleenex. You know,
you're basically making fun of the generation that you're an old man.
No,
and you're making
no.
fun of the generation behind you.
No, I'm saying these guys are nerds.
Yes, but they're
super nerds. And look, when they make one of these comic book movies they make a comic book into a movie, should 35, 38 year old men be creaming themselves? You know, it's like, oh my God, Spider-Man. Relax, buddy. You'll be 40 next week. Really?
Yeah.
I missed the entire baseball card collecting comic book. I mean, I couldn't read.
Basically, that is not enough high school football playing.
I couldn't read, so I never got into comic book. But the idea of looking at a comic book and getting excited about the next issue seemed bizarre to me at age 11. Yeah? Oh, I don't want to talk to these people.
If we have 1 minute, we have to take another break.
We're going to take the break. I labeled G.I. Joes, Cub Scouts, and comic books gay when I was 9 or 10. Like, what do I want to play with a doll? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to hang out with these guys with these funny hats and these weird kerchiefs they wear. Reading? We should be out having dirt clod fights or playing Smear the Queer. We shouldn't be home reading. Yeah, I don't understand. And the baseball card collection, all that stuff just seemed
tedious.
I guess someone could have got me into it, but it just seemed like, well, what's it do? The card's not doing anything. I want to go
collect. It's having.
Let's get a go-kart and go raise a little hell.
Some kids like having, some kids like doing.
I like having.
Like
I like doing the stuff I have, though.
Right.
I want a motorcycle.
Right.
So I want to ride a wheelie.
You have to have stuff that does, yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Well, anyway, Ron Perlman, who is Hellboy, the Hitler in World War II went back to go get him.
Yes. Well, they didn't mean to get him. He came through.
Here's my point. At this point, let's just start the movie from there's a guy named Hellboy. He's Satan's son. It's like, Hellboy, how does this work? Well, you see, Mengele and Goering and Hitler, they all found a porthole to hell. I'm listening. And they went back and they got, you know, there's a secret weapon for World War II.
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Now it all makes sense. Oh, you see, Jim Carrey couldn't lie because his son made a wish on his fourth birthday? Aha. Well, now...
That's how that kind of thing always happens.
That's how it happens. All right. So, at first, is this based on a true story?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. All right. How dare you?
Drew's tired of Hellboy because he had to see it twice this weekend. Well, Drew, we didn't even get to a call.
I hate that.
Yeah, me too, because it's all about the kids. We're going to take a quick break, and then, man, we got a lot of show after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Where's Anderson tonight? Is that Ken?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Anderson?
Ken? Hawaii. Funny how he didn't mention any of that to us.
Well, we don't talk.
I try. I try to talk to him.
You do not.
I try.
All right. Anderson is one of these guys where he doesn't talk to you, and then he's like, Corolla, a-hole, all full of himself. Thinks because he's a C-celebrity, doesn't have to talk to the little people. Meanwhile, he doesn't talk to you, right?
Doesn't talk to you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, wasn't he gone last week?
He went to the Ronald McDonald thing, and then he went to the... He works at a camp for kids with cancer.
Yeah.
And then he did a fundraiser for that, mm-hmm. golfing, and now he's gone again.
I'll tell you, Anderson is a...
Jack of all trades.
No. He's a riddle that we don't care to solve.
Wrapped in an enigma.
No, he's just... He's the kind of guy, he's got some layers. He's interesting. There's much more to him than meets the eye. But we're never going to find out about it, and that's okay with us. I mean, let's be honest. Yes? It doesn't mean you don't... No, here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people in life where you go, this guy's interesting. I'm sure he's got other stuff going. You get a little glimpse of it every once in a while. He does this, he does that, you find out he was there. It's always a little surprising. Oh, he read that book? Oh, mm-hmm. he did this? Oh, he used to date this person or something? Mm-hmm. And for a split second, you think... We had to sit down and have some drinks and really talk about, you know, really get to it one day. And then you go, no, that's fine. That's good. And it's not even a bad thing. It's not like I don't like the guy. I really like Anderson, but we don't need to know. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying. When have you gone out with him?
No, I'm trying to evaluate that. There's some truth in what you're saying. But I genuinely do have a desire to know, yet I'm not sure I'd
do it. You're not going to act
on
it. Yeah. Look, I work with people this way. They work at my house. I work at their.
What is
I
that?
Work at my jobs. It's like you go. There's certain people, and you go. Well, this person is a substantial person. There's something. Mm-hmm. It's not all just what you see at work. There's other interests, other facets to their life. And you think for a second, I get to know them, and then you think, this is good enough.
It's the kind of thing where you need to be in a circumstance where you're together somewhere, and there's no alternative, and then you're in.
You guys need to. Plow into a snowbank on your way across country or something and be trapped there.
And then you're
and forced to make love in order to keep warm and not die of hypothermia.
That, but that's the guy you want to be.
Sweet, sweet love to Engineer Anderson.
You're gay.
Michelle?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. Anytime that I've had sex with any guy, I just can't seem to orgasm while we're having sex.
Hold on a second. I feel the same way about Engineer Chris, less the part about the interesting stuff and there's more to him.
You just want to have sex with him. You just want to be...
No, the get to know part.
Yeah, I see.
You just
skip right over all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than the same. We will never hang out, but I will think about why we haven't hung out, but I will not act on it. All right? And don't count this as hanging out. This doesn't count. That's right. Don't look at me. Turn away. Turn away. Thank you. You look too long. It counts as hanging out. True. Yeah, you look over there, too.
When you say don't look at me, it scares me. It reminds me of David Alan Greer's Don't Look at Me.
Michelle?
Yes?
I'm sorry.
So you can't not have an orgasm during intercourse, right?
Yes.
But you can with oral sex?
No, not even that. It's usually what happens is we'll have sex, and I send the guy to the kitchen to get a glass of water. That I can quickly masturbate to get an orgasm. And I'm wondering how I can fix that problem so that I can have an orgasm while I'm having sex.
Is it the guy? Is this the same guy?
Well, it is the same guy right now, but it's happened in the past with other partners.
Why don't you include him in all that self-stimulation?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you let him participate with you when you do that to yourself?
That's just kind of weird. I'm not like most guys can be where they just, I don't know, guys can do that. Girls sometimes can't do that.
Yeah, sometimes.
But the blame of the guys would be happy to sort of be around while you do that.
Okay, but maybe so, and maybe I can try to do that with this guy. But in the meantime, how can I have an orgasm while he's inside of me?
That will not happen. Well, you can stimulate yourself. You can stimulate yourself while he's inside.
Yeah.
Try that. And the other option is to actually give him a chance to give you oral sex, which doesn't sound like you give the guys a chance for that.
Oh, he's given a chance many times. And it feels great. It really does, but I've never been able to orgasm. Have an orgasm.
I think you ought to try doing something while he's with you or in you.
Yeah, you mean you just flick the button there a little bit while he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Michelle?
That could possibly work.
Okay. All right. Well, that guys will be fine. Absolutely fine with that. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, we don't. Here's the whole thing. Women would possibly get offended if a guy did a version of that.
Yes.
If a guy was having intercourse with you and then reached down and started scrubbing his nuts or something, you know,
they'd be like, "Huh? Well, that's weird."
Yeah,
right?
Women would be like, "I don't understand why he needs more. Isn't he already getting enough? How come I'm not satisfying him? He thinks he should. If he thinks he's going to find better than this, well, then he's got another." They just get themselves rolling.
The guys, anything you can do to make their work less, bring it on.
Yes.
Yes, that's it with a guy.
We are very practical. It's like we're out raking leaves and, look who's holding the Glad bag open for us.
Now you got
fantastic.
A leaf blower.
Yeah, well, how are they going to help? No, we're helping.
Raking. I said they're helping. Got it.
They're
got
helping. It. Yeah, we're not going to turn that away. We're not going to, you don't think I can rake leaves myself? This is slap in the face to women. You could not do that. I wonder what a chick would get creeped out, too. Like, if you were having sex with her and all of a sudden you just started licking your finger and rubbing your nipple.
Gosh.
Chris, don't look at me. Don't look. Especially when I'm talking about rubbing my nipple. Drew, would that freak out most chicks?
And most humans, yes.
Hey, it would be weird, right?
I think something in there is also that key to males looking at the homosexual video. The same kind of reaction. The thought of you doing that is the same reaction to looking at gay porn.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that is. But
okay, but here's the thing that's ironic.
What is that?
Guys do nothing but service themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Nothing. That's.
Hold on. Don't, Chris. Don't look. Don't look. Okay.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. Here's what I'm saying. All guys. That's good. That's good because I can. My back is to Chris, but I can see the reflection in Drew's glasses, so I know when he's looking.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, busted. Busted. Stone busted. All right. Here's what I'm saying. Guys, okay, you take a 25-year-old guy, all he does is beat off. This is his essence.
All
this
he does.
Being. 25-year-old guy's going to beat off 5 to 10 times a week.
Yeah.
No problem.
No problem.
But when he's with a woman, if he did start, like, you know, rubbing himself or helping himself out or lending a hand, it would be creepy and weird to the woman.
And offensive.
Mm-hmm. Now, women do not touch themselves nearly as much as guys. But if a woman was to do a little rubbing on herself, even, you know, a woman could lick her own nipple while a guy was on top of her. Guys don't have a problem. The guys are like, oh, hey, wow, look at her. She made it. This is great. Don't look, Chris. You know what I'm saying? So it's ironic that the one who's going at himself all the time anyway
can't
touch himself, and the ones who don't touch themselves frequently do, and it's great.
Yeah.
Huh. So women do not look. But here's what women do. Women do that. Oh, well, if he touched himself, I would feel bad. So he's going to feel bad.
Don't think like a woman.
And man, okay, here's the deal. Everybody, no matter what your gender is, when you just start flipping your feelings, like, well, it would hurt me, so it naturally it would hurt.
Wrong.
Wrong. In the gender department.
In general.
Now, when it comes to, like, stealing car stereos,
yeah.
Go ahead and use that premise.
No, in general, if you were filling the blank with, in this relationship, if he were to do that, I would feel bad, therefore I won't. That is a... Dunna.
Yeah, unless you're talking about cheating, but anything that's going on in the sack.
But it is an interesting question. How do people know what those what the range of those guidelines are? In other words, it's every time a woman thinks, that's disturbing to me, therefore it must be disturbing to him, 99 times out of 100, she's wrong.
If it's in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
99 times out of 100.
Yeah, the one is the, that's the, right up the poop chute. Yeah.
But that's the one that she thinks, because she read in Cosmo, it's going to be good.
Right.
And the guys, no.
Yeah. And even that 1%, there's a 10% of guys that are
into that,
be down with it.
Yeah.
Nick?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No?
No.
Hmm.
How many women have you made sweet love to?
Hello? I'm sorry?
How many women have you made love to?
Two.
Two?
All right.
Yeah. All right. Pretty light for a 23-year-old, but okay. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, when I've awakened several times, I've been unable to move my body for a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of freaked me out. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there's anything dangerous or dangerous about this.
Well, it's called a night terror, basically, when you wake up in the middle of the night or just when you wake up in the morning, you feel sort of frozen, locked in. Your eyes are open, you're aware of your surroundings, but you can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be medication, it can be a seizure-type phenomenon, it can be a sleep disturbance, it can be emotion. It's a lot of reasons it can be, most of which are benign.
Okay.
Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you should talk to your doctor about it. Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you do any drugs?
No.
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 Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been anxious about something or nervous?
Oh, well, I have social anxiety, so.
Yeah, all right. This may be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on nothing for that?
No.
All right.
You have a girlfriend?
Not right now, no.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you working now?
Yes.
All right.
How does this social anxiety manifest itself?
With me?
Yeah.
Well, just with new people mostly. If it's someone I know, it's pretty okay.
Uh-huh. How do they know you're nervous, or would they know?
They wouldn't really know, except for maybe trembling in my voice, or if they were to look really close, maybe trembling in my hands.
Mm-hmm. All right there, Nick.
Yeah.
Hey, you still living at home?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. All right, now it's time to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get out there.
Yeah, I was wanting to ask you a question about that. How would one get started working, doing comedic writing on, like, a sketch show or something like that?
Oh, that's a sudden turn.
Well, if you want to write for a show like the Kimmel Show, first thing you got to do is flunk out of junior college. And then you got to kiss Jimmy's ass pretty good. And
you got to follow the Red Sox.
You got to pick a team. Yeah.
Right.
Now, so how do you start writing comedy?
Hmm. I bet every one of those guys that is a writer has a different story.
Yeah, they're all pathetic, though.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Nick is, you know.
Okay, that's true. Here's the thing. Here's what I would say. If you want to write, you should carry a notebook around and write stuff down. You make an observation, think of something that's funny, whatever, write it down. The other thing, you know, I realized, I was talking to one of our writer's assistants on Friday. He used to send jokes to Saturday Night Live. He used to send jokes to Leno and make money. They pay you $100 a pop if they use your joke.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fine with them because it's like, well, I got to do a they got to do a monologue every night.
There are no union issues with that, or
I don't know.
Pay attention to it. Yeah.
It's interesting, but it's like, well, they're not firing any of their guys. They're just taking, you know. So somebody emails them 500 jokes. You comb through them. Maybe there's three you like, and that's three less you got to come up with for that never-ending monologue.
Hmm.
Anyway, I would I'd just carry a notepad around and start writing stuff down.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, not that interesting. Jenny?
You're right.
Yes. Hi.
You're 25?
Hello?
Jenny.
Yes, hi.
Yes.
My question is, my husband doesn't seem to want me,
very much at all, and I would like to know what to do to spark his interest.
Well, give us some more history here. How long have you guys been together?
Almost 4 years.
And you have any kids?
Yes.
How long ago was the last child born?
Just a little while ago, maybe a year.
A year ago. And you're all back to normal again physically since that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thin and everything.
Okay, and you've had your, and your desire is normal? You're not any, nothing new is going on with you?
Well, my desire has always been more than his. Always been a lot more than his.
A lot more than his.
Maybe it was age, because he's a little bit older than I am.
How old is he?
He's in his 30s.
How far into his 30s?
Early.
All right.
Can't you say 33?
I'm sorry, what?
All right.
And so...
It's got turned into a... Well, because of the age...
How old is he?
He's older than me.
How old is he?
He's in his, let's just say he's in his 30s.
How far into his 30s is he?
Early-ish 30s. To say he was 35 would be an exaggeration of his numeric quantity.
is it a prime number?
It's an even number.
Even number, okay. And he's more than 32?
Well, I'll say less than 33 and more than 31.
Okay,
so,
a reasonable idea, then. Thank you.
You got a pretty good idea how old he is? All right, Jenny.
Yes.
Okay. How old is he?
He's 32.
All right. Well, we figure that out. Okay, that should make no difference.
None whatsoever.
At 32, Drew was... like a ferret on a double cappuccino, just on top of anything that moved. I mean, the passion flowed like a raging river that could not be stopped, sweeping up everything in its path.
That should be fair.
By the way, there would be farmers on like, you know, floating barns going down that passion river, livestock. I mean, it was an endless river, a torrent of passion.
And that's Jenny, yeah, basically. And so how often, before this sudden drop-off, how often were you guys having sex?
God, it dropped off after, like, the first 2 months.
Of marriage?
Yeah.
How long was it when you were doing well? How often was it?
When we were doing well, it was twice a week.
And then after marriage, how often?
Twice a week, roughly.
Where did this big drop-off occur?
It just seemed to slowly dwindle.
Okay,
to
where are we?
For the past 3 years now, it's just, I practically have to beg for it. And
where are we now?
Where we're at now is 9 times out of 10, I'm turned down. I'm lucky to get it maybe once a week, if that. And even then, it's kind of like, all right, kind of thing. And it's a quickie, nothing real special.
Really? Wow.
I've talked to him about it, and he's tried to make an effort a couple of times. Mm-hmm. The fact is, what I'm worried about is that I just don't measure up. He's the only guy I've ever been with. And I'm afraid that, you know, that it's just, I don't measure up to the people in his past, and he's just not interested.
No, he says nothing.
It's not about measuring up.
Do not think like a woman. This is a male's problem.
Yeah.
And this is not what makes a man click.
No.
There's something, he's either...
Guys go to prostitutes and stuff.
Yeah, Jenny, please. Yeah, you hear what Adam, listen to him.
When I told him, I said, you know, I said, a lot of guys complain that they don't get it enough, and now it's the other way around. You should be happy, you know? And he said, yeah, I know, I used to be one of them. My ex only gave it to me once a month, clearly indicating it that he wanted it from his ex, obviously more, you know? And he's the one who never gave it to him, and so now I'm kind of like, okay, well, obviously... I don't know what's wrong with me.
All right. Well, hold on a second. And by the way, don't bother trying to do this sort of ex history math. By
does
the
not
way,
work, no.
Yeah. And don't worry about that.
Okay.
I know.
So what's wrong with me now?
It's only kind of math. Oh, by the way, the only time, ironically, when women do math is to try to screw with it. So he dated her for 12 months,
yeah,
but he said he was with her for 8 months, and we met in January. So that would that's oh, God forbid. It's the only time a woman ever starts thinking about math.
Now, here's the deal. There's something's already wrong with him that he would be with somebody that only would have sex with him once a month.
Well,
there's already something weird
all right,
about that.
Who knows? Let me get some questions answered. Yeah. What's he do for a living?
That's what I want to know.
He does maintenance.
Ooh, that's a bad sign.
Does he smoke a lot of pot?
No, he doesn't smoke a lot of pot.
Does he do any drugs?
No.
Is he into like the internet?
Yeah, in fact, he likes porn. I've even watched a couple to try and figure out what he wants.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, here you go.
Yeah, all right.
I've been trying. I've been trying.
No, Jenny. No.
Well, here's... okay. Okay. It's not your fault.
It's not that he wants you to behave like somebody in a pornography. That's not it.
In a porno movie.
And
here's the other thing, too, you kind of wonder is... Usually when guys don't want to have sex, they're just... What they're trying to do is they're trying to pull out of the relationship. Not get divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, make... You know, you got the kids running around, you got the thing. He's a maintenance guy, so they're probably living on top of each other in some 800-square-foot dump. You're trying to carve your own time, and that's what the computer and the porn becomes about. All of a sudden, you're whisked away to some sort of fantasy world. Jenny?
Yes?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know. It's a tough one to crack. I mean, obviously, the guy probably needs a little therapy. You thinking something's wrong with you and what could you do to make it better and all this, it's the wrong angle. The angle is he's not wanting to be intimate. He's sort of pulling away.
And there's a reason for that.
You need to...
It has nothing to do with you being better or prettier or more available or more pornographic in how you approach him. It has nothing to do with that.
Right.
I smell substance or some sort of addiction. Whether it's porn addiction. When people start sort of secluding themselves and relationships start falling apart because of behaviors, compulsive behaviors that pull them away, that's a substance. That is substance or addiction or something. And that is something that needs evaluation. So, Jenny, listen, this to me needs evaluation. It's actually a rather serious symptom.
Yeah, he's a maintenance guy. He's not going to do anything.
I know.
And by the way, maintenance man, well below, like, carpenter or roofer or anything.
Ooh, below roof?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ironically, almost no one is below roofer.
Yeah.
Ironically. Yeah. Ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, you can look at me now. Yeah.
Ironically.
Ironically, yeah. Almost no one is below roofer. Yeah. Don't laugh, but make it be heavy. Show me that. Wow. Wow. Wow, I'm working so close to this.
The irony, by the way, too, for Jenny, is that it's not like... One of the things you can check off your list is he's not having an affair.
No.
Because the guy that's having an affair is doubling down. Extra good behavior. He doesn't want to leave you any clues or breadcrumbs that could lead you to down the path to you finding out what he's up to.
That's
so a guy pulling away like that means he's... He's like got a little life of his own by himself.
Right.
Whether it's with a substance or with pornography or whatever, it's a compulsive behavior that he can't stop, and it's destroying the relationship. It needs to be treated.
Oh, Drew, I just found some of this caulking on my hand.
Oh,
by the way.
You can eat it?
Oh, now that I'm in a well-lit room, no. I thought it was peanut butter earlier. I was going to eat it.
Good times.
All right, let's take a little break.
All right.
We'll be back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm your commander, Adam Carolla.
Commando.
That is Dr. Drew over there. We got some business.
We do. We got two pieces of business.
Mm-hmm.
One is to remind people this is the 10th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's demise, and no one has called so far. We had one call up to challenge Chris to a Kurt Cobain trivia contest, but that fell off the line. Almost got to that one. But I was more interested in talking about the issues of heroin addiction and severe abuse, survivorship, and depression and suicide, which is an unfortunately common problem.
Yeah.
And to switch gears, we have the Girl Next Door promotion. All callers 17 years of age and older get on the air tonight. We'll win a pair of tickets to see this film, which Adam has proclaimed he's cursed it.
No, it is the Citizen Kane.
Yeah, he's
of
proclaimed
our
it
generation.
A great film. Starring Alicia Cuthbert, who will be up here later this week.
Well, it could be Alicia.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah.
Did I say Alicia?
Yeah, I think
Alicia?
You did.
The Girl Next Door at earthlink.earth. The Girl Next Door. No, I beg your pardon. It's Girl Next Door Tickets at earthlink.net. If you log on to that site, Girl Next Door Tickets at earthlink.net, you will be issued passes to go see the movie for free at the Arclight, a special Loveline screening on April 7th. The rest of you that are 17 years of age or older get on the air tonight and will get two passes for free to see it in your area.
Well, I'm counting the number of letters, 13, 14, 15, 16, in that web address.
Girl Next Door Tickets?
Yeah, 17, 18, 19, 20. That A with the thingy around it, I'm counting that as one. That's 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
what
seven,
are you doing
eight,
with the dot?
9, 10. I'll count that because you got to move to do that. That's like 33 things.
33 strokes?
Characters.
Strokes.
Yeah, that's more
fingers.
Typing than I've done thus far.
In your life?
I've typed 28.
In your life so far?
I think so.
38 strokes. 28 strokes. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet, strangely enough, just as you made the point about the women not touching themselves and yet touching themselves in the act, strokes are something that you are very...
very familiar.
Very familiar with, indeed.
Very familiar. Don't look at me, Chris. Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Yeah, I love you guys so much. I used to listen to you all the time, and then I kind of stopped for about a year and a half, and then I had a dream about you last
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was about to go to sleep tonight, but I heard you guys mention Kurt Cobain, so I was all awake. Mm-hmm. And
You stop listening to us for an hour and a half, for a year and a half.
Well, it was because of my mother. She kind of heard your show one night, and I was banned from it.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, you do what you can.
Yeah.
What's up? What's up with the Kurt Cobain thing?
I don't know. What
was it you wanted to tell us about tonight?
Oh, the dream. It was like kind of the Ten Commandments of Outer Corolla thing. But it's like really outdated, I guess, because the last time I listened to you. Except it was like 20, but I don't remember any of them. I remember them, not all 20, but first one was like, Thou Shall Not Read Tiger Beat Magazine. And then thou shalt change smoke detector batteries. Thou shalt turn down your radio. Thou shan't go to junior college.
Wow.
Thou must kill the ants.
Ants. There's nothing outdated about any of this, Melissa, by the way.
And I like the shant thrown in.
Yeah, thou shalt not whack Mike with mug. Yeah.
What?
The mic.
Mike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
I love Bakersfield. And Cyber Adam Rules. Those aren't really commandments, as they're in there.
What was that one?
Cyber Adam Rules.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had Cyber Adam visit us in a while.
Forgot about him.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. People are stupid, not interesting, as some people would say. I guess that was when that doctor guy was there, and he kept saying everybody was interesting.
No, I don't remember him.
Yeah, that dude was replacing Dr. Drew that one time. I don't remember
his name. Well, you can't replace Dr. Drew.
Yeah,
you can only show up when he's not here and do a better job.
Yeah, thou shalt not walk in on a 70-year-old astronaut going to the bathroom.
No. Oh, yeah. When I walked in on, Buzz Aldrin was taking a dump.
Yeah, that's right.
Very serious man, that Buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thou shalt not go to the dentist if they don't have warm water.
Melissa.
This happened in your dream? This all came to you?
It did. It was like on a menu for like today's specials at a restaurant.
Was it on stone tablets that Adam threw down
like,
at the...
It was on like a little dry erase board that today's specials at like a restaurant.
Oh, my God, that is too...
Wow.
Melissa,
you
you're some sort of clairvoyant.
Did you write them all down
when you woke up? I wrote most of them down the ones I remember.
Well, now, hold on a second. I forgot about the dentist. I'm just spraying that freezing cold stream water all over my sensitive teeth that they just raped for the last 2 hours. And that's the part. It is my favorite part where I say to the guy, spraying it. It's really uncomfortable, especially when they've been drilling and doing and making and being, and then he's got to flush your mouth out and he's spraying. Depending on when you go, if you do your math during the winter time, whatever comes out of the faucet on the cold end is cold. I mean, it's as cold as the earth that it's coming from, basically, or at least passing through. And if it's the middle of July or August, it'll be a little bit warmer. But if you're in January, it's going to come out at 40 degrees. They spray it on your teeth. It effing hurts. I said to the guy, they ought to invent a heater coil or something that warms that water. You know, it's painful.
Oh, they have that.
Yeah, they got them.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. I like that guy. I like the guy who works at a place, and you go, yeah, give me half beef and half the Italian cold cuts. And they go, no, we can't do that. And you know, you can't. And they go, yeah, everyone wants it. Everyone always asks for that. Everyone asks. Everyone comes in.
We can't do it.
Yeah. How about you start doing the S that people ask for as a business owner? It's for you. I'm looking out for you, by the way.
Right.
But
and your customers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they make those heaters. Sure. Yeah. No, a lot of people say, yeah, they have a lot of discussion. Yeah, a lot of people. All right? Okay.
I want to hear more of what's on the board.
I want to get these dentists down. I want to get these people. I want to become like their pool man and just take a dump in the pool and have them go, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be putting chlorine in there? Yeah, they make it.
A lot of people want that.
Yeah, they got that. A lot of people ask for that. Not me. I take a Duke in the deep end. Well, isn't it? Wouldn't it be better if you use chlorine? Sure, yeah. A lot of people ask for that.
That's good times.
Melissa?
Yeah.
What else was up on that blackboard?
If you're stupid, don't have kids.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what veal and venison or the Holocaust is, we don't need you.
Veal and venison? Oh, my God. Ooh. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Adam's a heavyweight.
What?
Adam's a heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, I'm a heavyweight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can drink a lot and be fine.
She's cataloging 5 years of the program.
I forgot about all this.
This is all we were geniuses back then. What
That's right.
This?
Veal.
If thou must have kids, give them a room, not a service porch.
Yeah. That's sad, though, Melissa. That's
very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Sorry. What else?
I had the meter in my goddamn room.
I know.
The electric meter. The meter man used to have to come into my room to read the meter.
The gas meter. Yeah.
The electric.
Oh,
yeah, no,
electric.
Not the gas meter,
the electric
retard,
meter.
The electric meter.
Okay.
Thou shalt never crap in friend's Rams beanie.
Yeah, my buddy Ray crapped in my Rams beanie.
Melissa, you need to
send
it
back
these.
To me like a
you
lunch bag.
You need to say, wait, she's not done. She's not 20.
I have one more. They have one more that I remember. Thou shalt pray at the altar of taboo, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a fine.
Think what the power of the human brain has.
Mm-hmm.
That she's sitting in a dream and that's on a board that she reads and then writes down.
Very powerful.
That is amazing.
God bless you, Melissa. 15. Wise beyond her years.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I forgot about the dentist. I forgot about all this
stuff.
She
needs to fax that to us.
Fax it to us.
Hey, guys, screeners, what? Email it?
We don't have a fax machine.
Who's going to pick the email up?
We don't have an email, do
Chris,
we?
Yes, you will.
Loveline@earthlink.net. All right.
Melissa, email it to us at loveline@earthlink.net, okay? We'll post it in the room here. You got that?
No, we're not going to do that.
Uh-oh. Well, Ann's writing me something.
Got a different... we got a fax number? Nah, we don't need it.
All right, if you want to fax it to us, it's 323.
No.
Give her a choice. She's a genius.
A fax machine, you idiot.
Ask Melissa. Ask her. Melissa?
Mm.
Computer or fax machine or both?
Computer.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you ever get tired of being wrong?
Not really.
It's
so much fun being wrong.
Ever get tired of
being
wrong?
But it makes you feel so good because it makes you right if I'm wrong.
Use our goddamn computer and give us the effing email.
All right. Loveline@earthlink.net, right?
There you go.
Address it to Chris.
And by the way, this will be the only one. I don't want the rest of you yahoos emailing us. Okay? I've not read an email in 9 years. I'm not going to start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, even if they send them, you would
read
them.
Yeah. Empty. It will land on
empty
eyes and empty ears, and your empty request. All right, Drew. Where are we?
Four.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kendall.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I want to talk about why does Seattle have such a bad heroin problem. Is what I wanted to ask, because Kurt Cobain and Lane Staley from Alice in Chains died also in the 2 years on the same day as Kurt Cobain. And yet all the other bands from Seattle and just people in general, it seems like there's a really bad problem here in Vancouver and Portland. Why this area, Pacific Northwest, is what I want to know.
You think the weather has something to do with it?
Well, I think the weather can add to something called seasonal affective disorder, but the heroin acts I've dealt with from the Pacific Northwest, that did not play a big role. I would put it more...
How do you know when it plays a role?
Because the kinds of problems I'm seeing are not seasonal affective disorder. They're more personalized. Or it's more surviving hippie parents.
Ooh, well, that's a good point.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's more having a sort of a non-parenting sort of, not just hippie parents, but sort of uninvolved parents or just abandoning kinds of parents. And so
one of my friends, his brother... got into heroin, got hepatitis, I think C from a dirty needle, and they had really involved parents. So I wonder if it's like heroin mainly comes from Mexico or like Afghanistan area. So is the how about California compared to Seattle or LA compared to Seattle? How are they ratio wise with heroin usage?
I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. We got plenty of heroin addicts down here, I'll tell you for sure.
Oh yeah,
and there was certainly a romance to it up there. You know, the whole grunge movement had
that's what I thought.
You know, that scene had a feel to it, and so there was some sort of reinforcement of going in that direction. So I think it's a confluence of factors. I think that the culture sort of supported it. I think there were a lot of kids who were depressed, but I think more often than not, they came from, in my experience, pretty messed up family systems.
Well,
what I've seen.
Also, when you have, it's like, why are all the roaches in the same apartment. Well, when you have a few, then you're going to have more. Yeah. I mean, anytime you have somebody doing heroin, oftentimes the people around him, his friends, I mean, it'll spread out. I mean, so wherever it's thickest, it will
attract others.
It'll attract
yeah.
others.
Yeah, it's true, too.
So, I mean, there is that
there's
element
a culture to it. Yeah.
To it. There's also a pretty big port there. I don't know what that means in terms of shipping stuff in from places. It may, I don't, you know, as far as drug smuggling goes, I know a lot of stuff comes in from Mexico, but if it's coming in from Afghanistan or the Middle East somewhere, is that the port that it lands on first? Who knows?
You know, in my Portland experience, people I've dealt with that came from Oregon, usually that is a major league pot smoker. Mm-hmm. Who has some trauma history, the pot stops working, they graduate to other things. And perhaps because of the culture, you know, down here they switch to speed. Up there, maybe they head towards opiates. So.
Yeah. Now, what's Courtney Love into these days? Mm-hmm. She is all, now Drew knows something. Because he did the, he just said, I don't know. You'd think he didn't know, but he goes, and then it's like, all right, now he knows something. Well, here's the thing. It's not heroin, is it?
I don't know.
True, you're really... Even in a... You learned nothing from your acting experience with the Olsen twins, did you?
Nothing.
Well, do you know something? Well, Drew must know something. I can't figure... I mean, I've checked off pot. For some reason, I've checked off heroin just because she seems too animated and too... out and about. I mean, now maybe you can do heroin and be manic and that'll counteract that. But to me, when you're doing heroin, you want to be left alone. You don't want to do Letterman and then go do a concert afterward and then get up and do Howard Stern. You know, that doesn't feel like heroin to me. It just feels like a mixture of prescription stuff and it doesn't seem boozy either because she doesn't seem... I just swallowed an oyster there. She doesn't.
That was a nice sound, by the way. Very, yeah. Very elegant.
She doesn't seem sloppy or mush mouthed, you know. And it doesn't have that booze feel to it. So weed, booze, and I'm moving past heroin. I'm getting to a mixture of prescription drugs. I'm getting into like your sort of Elvis type thing, which is at night you knock yourself down with some Valium S stuff, and then in the morning it's the OxyContin and that kind of stuff, whatever it is. And I don't know, I'm just watching her, but the wheels are coming off that wagon. And as far as her and like Whitney Houston and stuff, these people need to seek themselves a little bit of help. And
well, Whitney did. She stayed for 3 days.
All right, I just...
By the way, just to be clear, let's talk about Whitney. That kind of a problem, 6 months of treatment may be helpful. May be helpful.
Yeah.
A week, 2 weeks, nothing. Zero.
Well, what about 3 days, though? That's good.
No. Negative. Zero.
All right.
Zero. But she'll find a spiritual advisor to take care of her.
Yeah. Get your spiritual advisor. That's all you need.
But by the way, if any of that would really be curative or remittive for drug addiction, of course we would use it. We do use it to a certain
spiritual
extent.
Spiritual advisors?
We do use that kind of thing as a piece of a multiple disciplinary team.
Yeah.
It's not just me even. A physician is not enough with that disease. You need about six different professionals from different disciplines working for many months to get somebody into recovery with this stuff.
But, you know, you turn on Entertainment Tonight and they're like, Britney Spears. Well, hey, girl, we wish you well. I know you're going to, you still got a lot of good in you.
Oh,
you just got to keep on fighting. You keep your head up.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to begin to address this kind of stuff.
They don't even know this.
It's all over, Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight. It's the Courtney Love stuff and the Whitney Houston stuff. And all they can think is, well, if we interview other celebrities and then other celebrities give them sort of votes of confidence and well wishes, you know, like, oh, yeah, Courtney. And they don't even know what to call it. They're always like the erratic star. You know, they do this kind of stuff. And it's like, hey, we wish her well.
Yeah,
they never even begin to scrape.
No, not even to discuss the framework of reality.
No.
Not even a brush with it. It's all just BS.
Right.
Are people tired of that?
Well, one of the cast members from Friends wishing you well.
Well, that's
surely
all I want to see.
That's all. But if you're chunky, that's all you need.
But maybe Lisa
Kudrow giving you a little thumbs up.
Maybe I am completely off base on this, but... And I understand that people don't want to watch things or see things that are depressing, but do they really want to watch just total BS? total misrepresentation of reality or no representation of reality? Really?
I don't know.
Want that? No. I don't know. I think they want more.
They really?
I think so.
Right.
I think more people than that.
True. You give it to them from deep, deep cable.
I will. Believe it.
Starting at 3:30 a.m. MSNBC 9. Dr. Drew will do a 12-minute chat. Well, he will. He will talk to the widow of C. Everett Koop. It's going to be his first show.
Is he gone?
I don't know. he should be gone. The guy looked like he was on the cover of the Kansas album. Number one. Anybody with the beard with no mustache, hey, if you ain't Amish, you better be in the ground. Because you should die at least 100 years ago, according to my watch.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Let's take ourselves a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, disgusted at the media.
Disgusted.
Cannot.
And I'll be giving you the truth from deep, deep cable.
Deep cable. you have a cable box, a Sherpa guide,
you might find me.
Provisions, one of those Gore-Tex suits, you know, the ones that the Sub-Zero suits.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and enough time, you can find Drew on deep, 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 deep cable one day soon, and there you will find the truth, my friend. Yes.
Yeah, it's worth looking for.
Explain about the truth, Drew.
Yeah.
You don't just flip on NBC and find it at prime time. You gotta dig for it.
That's true. That's why it makes the worthwhile message much more satisfying.
That's
Chelsea,
right.
13, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on, Chelsea? Hello.
Hello.
This is where you speak, and Adam sleeps.
Ugh. Okay, hey, this is a question, and this is for my mom's friend Lizard in McFarland. Is it true that every 60 or 90 minutes when a guy is sleeping, he attains an erection? And why did they do that?
Well,
when a guy is sleeping, he has, like, if he sleeps on his belly, he puts, like, pressure on his groin, and his penis becomes engorged, and it means he becomes to mess it, and it has blood in it. And then sometimes he'll have something called a nocturnal emission, when that means he has stuff other than wee-wee come out of his pepe in the middle of the night. What happened? When do you stop speaking in that cadence? I know every 13-year-old girl does. I know Drew, soon.
Oh, they start.
Your daughter's already
in.
I sounds like an ice skate, and I see Hellboy. I think they just punch every fifth word, so you understand. It's like, I don't understand. Hate you, and I'm a adoption, and I'm a lesbian, and I'm a college, and I'm a money. And this is what you just hear the big beats, right?
Yeah.
You don't need every word.
No, they don't need to hear that.
You don't need all those ands and us and,
you know,
and theys
and
with
and
all that. It's just nonsense. You focus on the big beats, the virginity, the college, the money, the car, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, here's the deal, Chelsea, that there are things called sleep cycles, and during certain cycles of sleep, men become tumescent, particularly earlier in the morning hours. And as Adam mentioned, pressure of lying on the stomach, pressure of a full bladder adds to this. And as younger guys, it'll happen more frequently than older guys and more significantly. There'll be more nocturnal emissions, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But your buddies, your other 13 to 15-year-old buddies, will have the same thing during the day, too.
Yeah? Okay. Josh?
Sleeping?
I don't know. It seemed to, calling his name seemed to command some action
him, yes.
out of him.
Josh?
He must have like...
Hello?
Josh.
Whoa.
Hello?
I like that.
Josh, you woke up like a whale surfacing for air.
Huh.
What's happening, brother? Were you asleep?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because you were on the air for like 15 minutes.
snoring.
We heard you fart twice.
No.
Yeah, and you mentioned this dude's name in your sleep. It's kind of creepy.
No, wait, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you talk in your sleep. You brought up Steve. Is the guy named Steve? Is he a friend of yours? Is it a family member?
No.
No, I'm just hoping. How about Dave? Because you brought up Dave too.
That didn't happen, dude.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, dude, you have 20 seconds for a question. Go.
Go ahead.
I was wondering how you like cut down the smells, the smell from your genitals, like the
funk. Are you circumcised?
No, I mean, yeah.
No, yeah. Adam, funk.
I would say
10 seconds on the mic.
Listen, trim the pubes. Don't shave them. Just trim them.
All right.
Because to me, you get behind one of those big guys with the dreadlocks at the airport, and his head stinks.
How about any talc, anything like that?
You ever see a guy with a shaved head never stinks, right?
Good point. Hair holds smell.
Holds it like a sponge. Trim the pubes. Dump some talc in before you head out. And get a little ball powder under there.
Shower daily.
You shower yourself up, but that's not really going to do anything.
Light sprinkling.
Dump some of that dust. Dust some of that ball powder down there before you hit the road.
We'll be right back.
We'll take a quick break. That's my job.
Right.
We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Take ourselves a little extendo break until tomorrow night. So, until then, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.